This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us from Open Doors ahead of the International Day of Prayer happening this Sunday, Murray Noble, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
So first things first, what qualifies somebody as being persecuted for their faith and in this instance persecuted Christians? How do they qualify to be called that?
Well, we have a number of different factors that influence whether someone's persecuted or not. Because the persecutions that we hear about normally are the violent persecutions. Maybe a church has been bombed or someone's house has been knocked down. But there are many Christians who endure persecution on a daily basis that we don't hear about. Sometimes it's in communities where they can't access food or water because their communities prevent them from reaching the well, or communities where people can't get jobs because you have to be of a different faith to progress in your career. So persecution has many different aspects to it, but anytime someone is disadvantaged or prevented from accessing something that others can because of their faith in Christ, there is an element of persecution.
I'm imagining this year then that some of those aspects of persecution, whether it's not having access to food and water, not being able to get work, during this year, during COVID, would it be right to say that that's gotten worse?
Yes, we've definitely seen different forms of persecution come to the surface during COVID. As resources are lessened all around the world and there are less jobs for people, often in countries where we've seen persecution before, Christians are being the first ones targeted by these lack of resources and lack of opportunities.
Wow. So what have you been hearing from your teams that are working on the ground in some of the nations where this is happening?
We're hearing an immediate need. Normally, at Open Doors, we like to look long-term. We like to say, how can we help people achieve independence or build a new life or career for themselves while holding on to their Christian faith? But we've seen a really immediate need for just food, medical supplies and resources because people can't access it. In some countries, it has been people of the Islam faith who have control over who gets resources. And so Christians just are not receiving them. And in other countries, there are just so many people with need that Christians are the first to get overlooked. So we've gone in and we've hand-delivered upwards of 200,000 food parcels and medical packs all around the world, answering that immediate need of we just need to survive these few months and get through. And now, as in some countries, COVID has begun to decline in some countries. We're looking towards a more long-term vision, a stage two of our project, saying, how can we build new jobs and build new careers for people so that they can then help and bless their communities on a longer-term basis rather than just a month-to-month survival through this time.
What are some of the solutions that you're looking for to do that? I think it's obviously a real challenge, but what are the sorts of things you think will help bring solution?
Microloans are an incredible tool that we do love to use. And seeing people, even if it's just one cow, we have this amazing program called a cow bank where we just deliver one cow to a family, but the produce that they get off that one cow and eventually having calves that they can spread throughout the community can make such a difference for so many people. There's just the gift of one cow can influence a whole community over 5-10 years as there are little baby cows running around and then the produce that they get when they grow up. So something as simple as a cow can bring new life to a community over a number of years.
And isn't that astounding? Because when you paint the picture of the issue of Christian persecution across the globe, it is huge and it's really harsh and horrible. And yet something as simple as giving a family a cow is all that's needed to really change that and get them heading in the right direction.
It's absolutely incredible what God can do with something as simple as a cow, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's just, it kind of like puts it all into a bit of perspective. But for yourself, living in Australia and having visited some of the other countries where you're working directly with persecuted Christians, how has it impacted you coming from a country where your faith is fairly well received and then heading into one where it's not?
For me, I think the biggest difference for my faith and my life is persecution can't be brushed off as individual incidents. It can't be the church bombing in Sri Lanka a couple of years ago or the church bombing in Egypt 4 years ago and just saying, oh, persecution happens occasionally and we'll just help the people in that time period but then wait until the next big event before helping again. Persecution is a day-to-day struggle for so many Christians. We have 260 million Christians around the world who are persecuted. And so for me and my faith, saying, how do I live out my faith knowing that there are people who each day struggle and struggle and struggle, but no matter what, choose to follow Christ? It's an attitude of persecution exists and I want to live my faith more deeply because these people are living it so deeply.
Yeah, it's actually so inspiring the way that so many of these families, so many of the persecuted Christians do just continuously find faith in God, and they really lean in. And on this Sunday in Australia, the International Day of Prayer is happening, and that's one of our opportunities to pray and to support. Sometimes people do view prayer as a really kind of easy, hands-off way to help people, but that's not how you view it at Open Doors. What do you see the power of prayer being?
Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have to help the persecuted church, because we can give money, we can support the persecuted church, and there are excellent things to do, but God is more powerful than anything we can do. And so often we hear of stories where God moves through prayer throughout the persecuted church. And sometimes it's the practical element of giving that then becomes the outpouring of prayer. We've heard stories of India, where a mother was just praying and praying and praying at her door, and as she was praying, the supplies arrived from Open Doors, and it was an answer to prayer through resources. But in other times, God works miracles through the prayers that we have. So prayer is the most powerful thing we can do to support the persecuted church. In saying that, we want to be praying with the persecuted church, not for the persecuted church. And the difference there is, if we pray for them, it can be easy to think we're helping them, we want to protect them, and we can kind of fall into a trap of our prayers are attempting to pull them out of where they are. But I want to share with you a quote from an Egyptian pastor who really puts it in perspective about how we should be praying with the persecuted church. He said, "Don't pray for us, but pray with us. Because if you pray for us, you'll pray for the wrong things. You'll ask that the church will be safe or the persecution will stop. But we don't want those things. We want you to be praying for boldness, and that we can be clear in sharing our faith. And that when persecution inevitably comes, see, he's expecting persecution. When it comes, pray that we won't run away, but that we'll be faithful." I mean, isn't that incredible? He's not asking the persecution to cease. He's asking that when it comes, they'll be bold in their faith.
Yeah, it's such a shift in perspective. So for people who want to get behind people who are being persecuted around the globe, how can they participate in the International Day of Prayer?
Well, this Sunday, pray. That's the basics of it. If you pray this Sunday, you're participating in the International Day of Prayer as the body of Christ prays for the body of Christ. But if you'd like some resources to help you do that, you can head to opendoors.org.au/hope for all our special hope listeners out there. And that'll give you some great resources. We've got about 8 prayer points, a little booklet we can even mail out to you if you'd like it. All free resources just to assist you in knowing how to pray well for the persecuted church.
Murray, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.